Chicago. This is your morning routine.
Put some respect on my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We're bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Oh, God. Welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000. And we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We've got Shay, we got Jay Moore, we got you for a three-hour ride here on this Tuesday morning. We'll open phone lines for you, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. And Cap, there's still a lot of talk in the streets about the Chicago Bears and the NFL draft. It's funny, I was talking to my cousin Wiley yesterday, talking about the draft. He just got back from an excursion in India. Why was he in India? We still don't know why, but he was there for 2 weeks having a good time in India, and he was just kind of catch up on all the news that happened with the Chicago Bears. And so he's a huge Bears fan, as you well know, and there's still conversation about what the Bears were able to do in the draft and then what the aftermath is for this Bears team.
Everybody is so excited. Like last year, they were like, didn't have a great year. We're going to trade the maybe the number one pick. Maybe we'll draft somebody. A year later, the amount of talent that has been added to this football team, and to have Caleb Williams, he's at the Laker game, and people are, well, got back to California quick. Mm-hmm. He is such a popular person, and he's ours. It is literally unbelievable to see the perception of the Bears today versus what it was 12 months ago.
You're talking about a star even before he puts on the Chicago Bears uniform because of what he did at USC. I can't accentuate the point more, Cap, that when you are a USC quarterback or you play for USC, it's almost like you're in the pros. Yes, college and pro are different, but in Los Angeles, USC is their football team. It's not the Rams, it's not the Chargers, even though they put some skins on the wall over the years. The point is, though, is that in USC, that is the pro team. And so Caleb Williams had a big spotlight on him. He's part of that Los Angeles circle like he is part of the Bears circle because of his years at USC and because of his accomplishments at USC. I just think it is interesting because there are some that are still not sure. In our conversation I had with Wiley yesterday, there were some people that chimed in and said that they're not sure about the Bears or they're suspicious about the Chicago Bears because they have not seen it yet. We've had some calls here yesterday say, well, you know, it looks good on paper, but, you know, but what's going to happen? Well, we can't tell you what's going to happen on the field yet because the season doesn't start until September.
Correct.
We can't help you there.
Our guy Paulie called in, calls show all the time. Down in Palm Beach, he's a Chicago guy.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, they're going to be under 8.5 wins.
Okay.
And he said, everybody's running to the window to bet on the Bears. That's the first sign. Vegas is going to get killed if they don't, if they go over. Okay. Those are, the sharps haven't started making their wagers yet. I think the number's going to go higher. I do. Unless they have a horrific run of injuries, God forbid, they will be better than they were last year when they were 7-10. Mm-hmm. They will be. That's just my opinion. Yes. I think they've got a lot more talent. I like their system, and I like what they're doing.
It's all based on what you have in your depth chart as well. I just think it's interesting. The more and more we talk about the Bears, the less that some people don't remember what the process was like for the Bears 5 years ago or 10 years ago. Unless you became a Bears fan this year, I can understand maybe you don't know the history.
Mm-hmm.
No one's asking you to be, you know, this Bears historian. No one asked you to be Larry Mayer. No one asked you to be one of these people that know chapter and verse about the Chicago Bears history. However, we're just talking about 5 or 10 years ago about how the infrastructure was for the Chicago Bears and how raggedy it was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we'll just use John Fox for an example. How is it that the general manager and John Fox are not on the same page when it comes to Mitch Trubisky? How's that happen?
Right. You look back through,
come on, Cap.
Through time. How could you possibly be sitting in the building and going, all right, we've got down the hall over there Bruce Arians. We got down the hall over there Mark Trestman. What sane human being walks out of those two rooms and goes, I'm taking Trestman? Really?
Right. Yeah.
In this town especially, Bruce Arians would have owned this city.
Sure.
With the Kangol hat and the Crown Royal. Oh, my God. To Ryan Pace, can't trust his coach to tell him who he's going to draft, so he does it in secrecy, and he picks the wrong guy. But how did upper management, like, Pace is the guy you hold responsible because he effed up the pick.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact. But how did his bosses, Ted Phillips, who's now retired, hope you're enjoying retirement,
mm-hmm.
and George McCaskey, you're telling me they had no idea? They had to be have kept apprised what was going on. He wasn't rogue. So how did they not say, hold on a second, Ryan. If you can't trust the coach that you're employing,
yes,
then we've got real structural dysfunctional issues going on here, because I want everybody, this is a franchise defining pick here, and it turns out you left the Hall of Famer on the board and you hired a guy who's Chicago to Buffalo to Pittsburgh back to Buffalo and is a career backup now.
Yes.
So that falls at the feet of not only Ryan Pace but Ted Phillips and George McCaskey. How in the hell can you keep making those mistakes? And finally, Ryan Poles had the temerity to go into his interview and go, I would like the job, but it's going to get ugly. We're tearing it apart.
Yeah.
And that's the only way you're ever going to get this thing right.
But the Pace example that we just cited was commonplace at Hallis Hall. Cap, you didn't have to be there on a microphone to find out what was going on. You didn't have to be there in the building.
Mm-hmm.
You would hear things. I would hear things. Hey, there's a disconnect between Ted Phillips and the head coach, or Ted Phillips in the draft room, and Ted Phillips and I, or McCaskey in this and that, all that kind of drama, that vicious cycle of nonsense that would happen at Lake Forest all the time.
Right.
So that shows you, if you want to know why a team is bad or not being able to achieve their goals, usually look in the standings. Look at the underachievement. It's because of the front office not being sound. We only tell that story to be able to push it forward here to 2024 and say, Cap and I and the rest of us here at ESPN 1000 are not telling you about drama within the organization, because there is no drama within the organization. It's Ryan Poles' show.
It's
George McCaskey, who's the same George McCaskey he was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, shaking hands with the fans right there as someone you would think that would hide, right? Like, oh, you know, I don't want to be around these fans. He's one of us in so many ways, in which he's right there in the tailgate. He's right there talking to the fans at the game. Usually owners are in their box. They don't want to be bothered. They're just with their group, with their circle.
He's in the south lot over there.
He's with everybody, shaking hands. And just, you know, right there when we go to training camp, there he is on his scooter. He's getting his steps in. He's amongst the fans.
When we pulled up there last summer to do the show, there was George in his walking gear, like his Bears gear. And he's getting his steps in. Yeah. Hello? And he keeps going.
Keeps moving.
God bless him, man. The guy takes care of himself. He's in good shape for, and he's in his, what, 60s?
Yeah.
Looks great. But I still want to go back to, you ran, I mean, younger fans can't believe this. They didn't have a GM. You laid that out for us last week.
Mm-hmm.
They fired Jerry Vannesi, no GM for an entire decade. Okay, that didn't work well. Now they hired Jerry Angelo. They can't figure out the quarterback. They move heaven and earth to get Jay Cutler. Do they get him a top receiver? No. Six offensive coordinators or whatever he had. Ridiculous. Just every way you could screw things up, they did. And now one dude rolls in from Kansas City. It's just, it's my show or I'm not taking the job, because I got an interview in Minnesota tomorrow.
Because it's clear, Cap. It's just a clear situation. It's not murky. It's not, is the finance guy, does he have a say in it? Does ownership have a say in it? Of course, George and ownership have a say because they're presiding over this. They're the owners. I mean, but then you have Kevin Warren and you have Ryan Poles, and it's their show. And so the reason why that I'm excited as a Chicago Bears fan is because there's no drama. There is a clear line of where the Bears are trying to go. They're trying to get to a Super Bowl championship. And yes, it's the first time that we've seen the Bears actually for real tank. We've seen horrible Bears teams. Bears teams that you see after they break training camp, you say, yeah, look at that roster. That team's not going to be able to beat Green Bay or the Lions or the Vikings or Tampa back in the day. They can't win in the same division. It's not going to happen. But I'm excited because it is different than what we've seen in the past. Look at what they've been able to build, not just through the draft, but through free agency. Now, the other side of it, Cap, is it all depends on how this all works. There's an excited side of me, and there's a suspicious side of me. The suspicious side is what I've told you before we even got to free agency. I told you this at the end of the season. I said, Cap, it is a rookie quarterback. It's going to be Caleb Williams. You said that for 4 months, correct?
Correct.
It's going to be Caleb Williams. I said, but it's still a rookie quarterback. He is going into this draft, the best quarterback on the board. That's why the Bears took Caleb Williams, because he's the best quarterback on the board. But I said that there is going to be there has to be a connection quickly for this to work with the rookie quarterback Caleb Williams and Shane Waldron. You know how we drag offensive coordinators around here over the last 25 years. You know how we say that offensive coordinator doesn't work. They need to fire this guy. How come the offense doesn't work? Okay, so still with Shane Waldron, just because he fixed Geno Smith and turned his career around doesn't necessarily mean that this guy is, you know, the next offensive guru. We don't know that yet. We have to see it on the field. So the only reason why I'm suspicious on that side of the ledger is the rookie quarterback and Shane Waldron. The rookie quarterback has more weapons than even C.J. Stroud had last year. He has a tight end, and he's got three wide receivers, Cap. He's got two or three new offensive linemen that have come in. They can't all play together, but the point is, though, is that there was upgrades there. It has to work as a cohesive unit. And so that's why I'm like, okay, let's see how this works. You have the people in place. How does it work? That's only fair to ask. It's only fair.
It is.
Think about all the rookie quarterbacks, even with Andrew Luck. We should compare that, by the way. Andrew Luck in his first year, his weapons versus what Caleb Williams has.
I'm looking it up.
So, Cole Kmet at tight end. You have got Rome Odunze. You have DJ Moore. You have Keenan Allen. I mean, that's a ton right there. So, just think about the weapons that are there. You are hoping that if Ryan Bates is a center, that he can be the quarterback of this offense and be able to not throw a ground ball to short, that actually it will get right to the hands of Caleb so he can operate.
Correct.
Like a real center.
That is correct.
So all I'm saying is the suspicious side of me is like, how does this all work? I would say that the defense with Montez Sweat and that group, I think that if you're adding a little bit more seasoning to that, that defense should be ready to cook. The offense, though, I still wonder about.
You mentioned all the snaps coming back.
Yeah.
So I had lunch with Olin yesterday, and he said, go back and watch the postseason for the Chiefs. Creed Humphrey, in the Super Bowl alone, had a bunch of snaps that were coming in low off the ground, wide right, wide left. He said, but you know what the difference is? Here in Chicago, when it happened, it was like a massive deal because our offense wasn't very good. He said, when you got the guy back there, Mahomes?
Yeah.
I got you. Scoops it off the ground, high right, high left, low, center, whatever it is, I got you. He said, and Creed Humphrey's a good blocker. Mahomes is comfortable with him. Guess what Creed Humphrey's going to get? Paid. Mm. Paid. But if he was here, yeah, he'd be like, huh, what is with these bad snaps?
Yes.
He said it's who you got behind it. Shea, you've got the Andrew Luck weapons as a rookie?
Yeah, Reggie Wayne, Donnie Avery, and T.Y. Hilton were his leading receivers. Colby Fleener and Dwayne Allen at tight end. Running game really doesn't matter because they never had one with him because their offensive line was atrocious the entire time he was there.
Got killed.
Who was their running backs?
Vic Ballard, I don't remember. Donald Brown.
Robert Hughes.
Mwelde Moore.
Mm-hmm.
DeLon Carter and Robert Hughes.
Yeah, I remember who was the one, the Donald Ballard. He had a few games where he's like, oh, where'd those 180 yards come from?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, compare what Luck had in his first year to what's, you know, because here's what we're hearing. We're hearing like this is the most weapons for a quarterback since Andrew Luck. on paper, who it seems better. Like, I mean, who doesn't like a T.Y. Hilton, by the way, and a Reggie Wayne?
Yeah, Reggie Wayne's a Hall of Fame level player. T.Y. Hilton was a solid player.
Mm-hmm.
But DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Roma Dunze, Cole Kmet, Gerald Everett, DeAndre Swift, Khalil Herbert, Roschon Johnson?
Pretty good, kid.
Pretty good, kid.
Just interesting. It just what I'm saying is that with this offense, that's the only thing that I'm wondering about is, like, how does Waldron work with this rookie quarterback?
I also went back and looked at Green Bay. And again, you know I'm a fan of Jordan Love's. He's a really good football player. Had a really good year. The Bears roster may not have Green Bay's depth because their GM's been there a lot longer and been doing it a lot longer, so he's had a chance to accumulate talent.
Yeah.
But the depth chart, the Bears roster's better.
Than the Packers?
Yes. Yes.
Your neighbors won't be happy with that.
I don't care.
My God.
I'm going to wear my blue and orange in Wisconsin this weekend, and I can't wait to say, take that, Green Bay.
Okay. You know I'm not there to protect you, right?
Correct.
You understand that. You, I mean, you could say
that.
I was
in the gym yesterday. I'm good.
Okay. That's fine, but it's not me.
So you're a bigger man and a tougher man than me.
I'm just saying, like, you might have been in the gym, but and I might have got my steps in yesterday, but it's not the same.
But Friday, when I go to Jerry's Bar,
yeah,
I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to be wearing my Bears gear. Chasing greatness, baby. Let's go.
I'm glad that you go to that bar early enough, because if it was late and you wore that, you'd be knocked on your ass. Some jackalone. Bears suck! Yeah!
Bam.
Someone taking a swing. Howard, need some help.
Howard Ankin, 3126 million for the great Howard Ankin. I got punched in Wisconsin. What were you doing? Telling Packers fans to take that over drinks?
That's going to be a tough case.
Yes.
So I don't know if they'd want that.
I'm not licensed up there. Go find another intern.
Are you more excited or more suspicious about the Chicago Bears and everything they've done? Let's open the phone line, Shay. 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our telephone number. If you're on hold, you will be on the air as we talk Bears with you on the home of the Bears.
By the way, I did get pulled over in Wisconsin. And I'm thinking, can Enken do a speeding case up here? No. So I called Craig, our boss. I got a ticket. Greg Rothstein. Here's his number. Okay. I'm like, Rothstein sounds like my guy.
Oh, yes.
And he got me off.
Yeah, it does sound like your guy.
I had to pay a hefty fine.
Uh-huh. Does sound like your guy.
84 miles an hour was not cheap.
It's deserved.
Yes.
We're taking your phone calls on the Bears coming up next on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Cap and Jay Hood are back.
We are back, baby. We are back. We're back. Yeah. Classic.
On Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
It's a Cap and Jay Hood morning show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Here's hoping that you're going to have a great Tuesday. We'll hear from Connor McKnight coming your way at 7:50 on the Red Hot White Sox. Shout or no shout at 8 o'clock right here on Chicago's Home for Sports. 312-332-3776 is our telephone number.
Red hot.
You read the papers. You read the papers, don't you?
I do.
Okay. You know what's happening over there.
Dog night last night. I wanted to bring our dogs. But my wife had to work late.
It's the Sox. It's dog night every night.
Wow.
We talk to you about the Chicago Bears, are you more excited or more suspicious about the Bears as we take your phone calls, as we go to the phone lines to talk to you? We will say hello to Joe in Portage, Indiana on Cap and Jay Hood. Joe, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm very excited about this upcoming season. The Bears have been, in my opinion, I know he's retired, you know, enjoy retirement, but a lot of this issues rely in Ted Phillips' hands ever since 2013. I feel like he played a crucial role in making the wrong decisions. Do you remember in 2015 where they had the arranged marriage of Ryan Pace and John Fox? Ryan
yes.
Pace did not hire him.
That's
that was
correct.
An arranged marriage.
Yes.
Okay. And so it was reported that Ryan Pace went to Ted Phillips to try to let him go because it sounded like he wanted to hire a Shanahan-type coach to pair with Mitch. And that was denied. So he was forced to keep John Fox for the 2017 season. Now, he made some bad decisions, i.e. hiring Matt Nagy, hiring the wrong type of coach for Mitch, and then trading all draft capital for defensive players when they could have been used to help the offense. So that is on Ryan Pace. But I feel like it all stems higher. And as soon as Ted Phillips retired, I had a gut feeling that the next president would have been right, and Kevin Warren was a right hire. I mean, I'm a big Big Ten fan, college and pro, college basketball, college football. Kevin Warren was the hit, and he's allowing Ryan Poles to do his thing. He's giving Ryan Poles that autonomy. And that is why you're seeing a big difference with the Bears and how they're being perceived nowadays.
Well, I hope you're right, and we appreciate your call. I really liked that Ryan Poles was honest in his interview. He had other opportunities. He interviewed the year before with other teams, didn't get the job, got another year with the Chiefs, another year of success, and then he was going from his interview in Chicago. He was getting on a plane and going to Minnesota. And everything I've heard was, if he doesn't get hired in Chicago, he's taking the Vikings job. And George smartly, very smartly, picked him up at the airport and said, we're getting this deal done. What's it going to take? And Polian had said, you guys have to completely clean house. Because there had been talk, George wanted to kick Pace upstairs because he liked him. Mm-hmm. And thought he could provide value in other areas, not running being the GM anymore. And Polian said, no, you got to clean house. You got to get them all out of here. Coach, all of it, and let Ryan Poles build his own staff. And that's what he did.
As far as the president of the Chicago Bears, Kevin Warren, is concerned, Kevin Warren is not there to be able to make draft picks.
Correct.
Now, I'm just going by our previous callers talking about Kevin Warren's time in the Big Ten. You've heard exactly what our last caller said about Kevin Warren. You've heard that there's some that just did not like his tenure in the Big Ten, that some in the Big Ten were happy to see Kevin Warren go to the Chicago Bears, which is fine. Kevin Warren is in here to preside over the organization and to build a stadium.
Correct.
That's what he's here for. He did it in Minnesota. That's why he was a perfect hire here, to make sure the stadium is built. Kevin Warren is not using this job as a stepping stone. He actually wants to see the Bears win, but he wants to be able to clean up the organization. When you have the type of communication that he had, talking to everybody, not just the people we talk about on the air, like everybody in the organization, what can we do to be a better organization, more efficient?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've seen quotes already of saying that, boy, you talk about Kevin Warren coming in like a whirlwind. How the mood changed at House Hall with him in it, businesslike, trying to figure out how to be a better organization, trying to build an organization in his image. Says a lot.
Does.
But not as a football guy, though. That's Ryan Poles' job. He's not there trying to be able to make change as far as the roster is concerned, and thank goodness.
No, but they're trying to put a support system together where, okay, we are going to draft the number one quarterback. We have to vet him on every level, and then we have to vet Drake May and Jaden Daniels and Michael Penix and Bo Nix and all these different dudes. And then they had, which I've not heard of a team doing it, they had this, you take the wide receivers and you tell me why we should take a wide receiver at number 9. They were already locked in on quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Shea's got the defensive back. Tell me why we should take a corner and be as compelling with your arguments. And then they weighed all the evidence.
Sure.
And that's how they settled on, we're taking Roma Dunze if he's there. I just like the process, because there's been a billion articles. They didn't even have dinner with Deshaun Watson. They didn't this with that. They didn't do this with Patrick Mahomes. Whatever it was.
Due diligence.
Do your due diligence. And if it doesn't work, you don't look back and go, God, I should have done that. They did everything. If this doesn't work, you get back on a horse and swing again. They're not going to close the franchise down, but at least feel like you did it the right way.
312-332-3776 is our telephone number. In Brooklyn, New York, listening on the ESPN Chicago app, here is Derek on Cap and Jay Hood. Hey, Derek, good morning.
D, what's up?
Yo, good morning, Cap, Hoodie. What's crack-a-lackin', fellas?
How awesome was that Thursday night?
Yo, how awesome, man. Listen, I was jumping up and down for joy in the bear cave downstairs, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. in the house, and I just was going, I was going nuts. My wife was like, what's going on? I said, we finally, I think we got the franchise quarterback who we've been trying to get for years upon years. But let me make a comment, and I want to ask, and I'm going to ask a question. Nah, no ether. We good. But
took your foot off the gas. All right, go ahead.
No, but listen, I am so proud of George McCaskey, and I'm going to tell you why. He finally, after so many years of doing it the wrong way, he finally came to the realization with all of the good people in his ear that he finally got it done the right way. And he's staying out of the way. And the hiring of Ryan Poles and then bringing, even though we didn't like the fact that we hired the general manager first, then hired the team president, that was a little bit out of whack. But it's working out, and we finally have the upper management situation the way it should be, and the right decisions are being made. And another thing that I'm so happy about when it comes to the Bears organization is the draft capital now. All the sacrificing the first-round picks for the Khalil Macks, the Jay Cutlers, the whoever else is. Now when we finally go into these drafts in the future, we can finally draft the next best player available, because we're going to be so good at all the positions with the depth chart and everything, when we do have these upcoming drafts in the future, if we do choose to make a particular trade, it's not really going to kill us like how it was killing us in the past. So we're going to be able to get the good players like the Chiefs and the Eagles and, you know, all the upper echelon teams. We're able to draft players the way that we need to draft and not having to sacrifice, you know, for the greater good, because we have what we need. And I'm just very proud of the way the organization is finally shaping up. This is all I've been wanting for years upon years, especially living in where I live at. You guys know I'm in Brooklyn, NYC.
Yep.
And I got to hear from these corny-ass Giants fans all the time. And I got to hear about the 2007 and the 2011 Super Bowl. But you know what? They can't say nothing now. They can't say nothing now.
Nope.
And one last thing, fellas.
We got to go, man. Go ahead.
Real quick, I hope the Bears can be like the Eagles. What I mean is, you see how the Eagles drafted Jeremiah Trotter's son?
Yep.
I hope in a few years we can get Brian Urlacher's son from Notre Dame. Go Bears, bear down. Love you guys. Let's do it, baby. Let's go.
All right. Have a great day, D.
All right. He's talking about my Giants now. Be careful. Okay. Elon, he was pretty good. Okay. He's pretty good. Okay.
All right. Coming up, who is the hottest?
Like Francesa, baby.
Who's the hottest team in Chicago sports? We'll talk about him next on Cap and J Hood.
Checkmate 1-6. Landing suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Cap'n J Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Cap'n J Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000. And we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood with you. Don't forget Albert Breer on the NFL and the Bears at 8:35. But right now, shout out, no shot, brought to you by...
That would be ESPN Bet Now Live in Illinois. Sign up today. New users get $100 in bonus bets with any sportsbook bet. We say good morning to Shea W. North.
Good morning on a Tuesday. How are we feeling, boys?
We are doing well. Hoodies were splendid in a brand new, looks like Georgia hoodie. Bright red, the big G. Yeah, we're good.
I am the big G.
That's it.
Yes, I am, Cap. You know why? Because as I woke up this morning at 4:10 this morning, I just looked for anything that smelled good and it was bright. I didn't know what it was. It's red. It's probably Georgia. I'll find out when the sunshine hits me when I step out of my south side abode.
There you go.
It's either Georgia or Eddie George, right? One or the other.
One or the other. Something.
Not sure, but it one or the other.
Either way, whatever is clean, whatever I could just find, just whatever.
Set my gear out the night before.
Yeah.
I lay it out on the dresser. All right. Here we go.
Yeah, I actually have an apparel question since you brought this up, Kaplan. Today's the first day in three shows mm-hmm. that you are not wearing your bright orange Chasing Greatness custom hoodie.
Mm-hmm.
Hoodie, shot or no shot, he was washing that every night.
That's a no shot. It got gamey.
It did not, because I never wore the same one. I have three or four of them.
Of the same exact one?
Yeah.
I thought you would have worn the navy one.
I have that as well. I will wear the navy one today. I just decided to go. It's going to be 70 degrees. Tracy's doing a great job. So it was an ode to Tracy Butler and the weather. I went a little lighter today.
Not just an odor.
Right.
Ooh.
And shout out to Val Warner's son, by the way. You're going to have a little Cap on you. Oh, the good juices of Cap, because
excuse me?
The sweatshirt one of the sweatshirts that Cap has that says Chasing Greatness gave to Val Warner's son. So that's going to smell good.
That's it. There you go.
If it's the same sweatshirt, why wear this different sweatshirt with the same name? You have Chasing Greatness, and you said you have three or four of them. You just kept putting the same new one on? A different one? With the same label?
Yeah.
Would you do that?
Because I had them made, so I've got a box full of them.
So you had to see how they all fit? They all fit the same on you.
Yeah. It just one got a little something on it, so I had to wash it. Or actually, Mindy did. We've gone over this. I don't do laundry. I've got 50 other chores. She's got a laundry list of stuff for me to do.
Hey.
She said, I'll handle the laundry.
Hey, Mindy there. I got a little spot on the, sweatshirt there. Put in the laundry. A little tight, eh?
I do more than my share around there. She'll tell you that.
Those were the days, Jay Moore.
I'm bad at laundry. I ruined a beautiful sweater of hers that now would fit like a chihuahua. And she said, that's it. You're done. Mm-hmm. Done.
Did she also give you a beer afterwards?
Beer me, Mindy.
Did you beer me, Mindy? Yeah. Huh? Dinner, huh?
I cooked the dinner.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, I made a great dinner last night.
There it is. Songs that the hit parade. Beer me. Watch the Chasing Greatness stand. Dingbats. All right.
I know. Zetterman saw me and he's like, again with the orange sweatshirt? I'm like, yep.
Chasing Greatness.
And he saw me. I was with Brett. Brett had one on too. He's like, look at you two. It's the same sweatshirt.
Yeah. Chasing Greatness. Chasing Fungus.
Wow.
Here's Shay Norley. Shay.
All right, let's get started with Shot or No Shot. Despite drafting Austin Booker at defensive end in the fifth round, the Bears could still use some help on the defensive line. There's been a lot of floating the name Yannick Ngakoue, bringing him back potentially off the scrap heap. But another option I've seen floated a bunch is Calais Campbell. Campbell had 6.5 sacks last season in Atlanta, continued to be productive despite being 37 years old. He'll be 38 this season. Also took a bunch of snaps in the defensive interior where the Bears really need some help. So Shot or No Shot, despite being 38, the Bears should sign Calais Campbell over Ngakoue if they take a scrap heap player.
Is Ngakoue like bringing Bellinger back? Because usually you don't double dip. You don't do it twice. But, I mean, if that's all you have on the scrap heap, Cap, why not with Ngakoue?
Yeah, again, is he healthy? He broke his leg. Is he healthy, ready to go at training camp, or is he not back till October? I got to know the medical diagnosis. What is the doctor saying? If he is ready to go and he can be back training, I would take another run at the Ngakoue signing on a one-year deal.
So there are no other younger assets out there. I'm not saying that would be a bad choice, but I'm just wondering. Like, that'd be an anchor for sure, an experienced anchor.
Yeah, you just need somebody over on that edge. So Calais Campbell, Yannick Ngakoue, whatever it is, you can afford the money. It's not going to be pricey. Get it done.
Calais Campbell, he had a friendly man, got the big laugh. He's got a big friendly laugh, Calais Campbell. I think that'd be a shot for me. If you can't find a younger asset, then why not have experience on that line? I know who would be for it. That's Eberflus.
He had...
Right?
Yeah. How old did you say he is? 37?
Yeah, he's going to be 38.
Right? He's going to be 38 years
old. That's a shot for me.
He's a good football player, mm-hmm. man. Really solid player. Whichever one they feel is healthier that can get the job done, I'm good. Just get another one.
Yeah. Shay.
Right?
The Cubs are in first place despite getting hit with a bunch of injuries in April. Justin Steele, Cody Bellinger, Seiya Suzuki, Jordan Wicks, etc., etc. Kyle Hendricks with a phantom injury. He's on IL. The Cubs are on pace to win 100 games here on April 30th. If they win tonight, make it 102, with the third highest run scoring in the National League. Shot or no shot, the Cubs' hot April is actually sustainable, even with all the injuries.
Wicks, Wicks, surprisingly Wicks.
With all the injuries, no, that's no shot. I've covered too much baseball over 30 years. No, you cannot keep Hector Neris as your closer, walking two guys in the ninth consistently and get away with it. History, if you fail to recognize history, you're doomed to repeat it. And there's no doubt that they need to add some talent. They absolutely need another bullpen arm that can pitch in high leverage.
Several.
I'll start with one. That'd be a closer.
I understand, but I mean, you demand for the best.
Mm-hmm.
I've been saying this for at least a month to you. You need several. Like, the change that they made in the bullpen was not enough for me. But I said, you know what? I trust Jed that when the time is right, that he will upgrade. He will not do what he did last year. Did not believe in the ball club last year.
Well, this is a way different team now. They've matured. Cade Horton is. He's going to be here sooner rather than later. They've got some young talent, man. They've got a chance. They got to get healthy.
You know, the maturity of the ball club is not what I'm concerned about. It's the maturity of the general manager and ownership. Is that a fair statement? Of understanding, like, hey, you have a good ball club. You need to be able to upgrade if you want to solidify yourself in the playoffs and have some lights on in mid-October.
Right. I would like them sooner rather than later go get a closer. Yeah. I understand. I keep hearing it from Jesse and from Gordon and all these people. Nobody is trading you their closer in April. It's not going to happen. Because what message do they send to their fan base?
Right.
They're not. Unless you make the dumbest deal of all time and give up, you know, your best assets. So I get it. So you got to stay afloat.
Yeah. I would say that the way they're going right now, it is not sustainable. No. But when you get healthy, and I'm talking about the ball club as is, when you get healthier, it will be sustainable because you're on your way to the playoffs. You have to take a huge fall and have a big slump, I think, at this point in time, Cap, based on the roster, to be a non-playoff team at this point. And by the way, you can slump as a ball club, too.
Well, that happens. Over 162, sure. There's going to be days where people will be like, yeah, this team, they stink, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It's good. It's coming.
Oh, yeah. Long season.
Yeah. Long season.
Che.
All right. I have a White Sox statistic question for you. After they got series sweep, their first series victory of the season over Tampa.
Say it proud.
That's right. Thank you, John Schriffen. After sweeping the Rays, they did lose yesterday, bringing their win percentage here on April 30th to a whopping 207. It was also a breakout weekend for Andrew Benintendi. He was 6-13 with 2 home runs and 8 RBIs against Tampa. 1-for-4 night last night brought his average to 206. 1 point off of the White Sox winning percentage. At the end of the season, shot or no shot, Andrew Benintendi's batting average will be higher than the White Sox winning percentage.
Yes.
Okay, wait. Winning?
Yes.
If you win 50 games, that would make you 50 and 112?
308 would be your winning percentage.
Right, and so if you win 55 games, you're still pathetically bad. Yeah, there's no shot Andrew Benintendi's batting average is above the White Sox win per day. No shot. He's not hitting 300, and they're going to win more than 50 games.
So how many wins do you think the Sox are going to have this year as we sit here today? Because right now they're 6-23.
55.
Any Sox news?
55. Something like that, maybe 60. That's still a 100 loss team.
So you think the winning percentage for the White Sox will be?
Will be higher than Benintendi's batting average. Yes.
Yes. I would say that is a shot. Yes.
It better be.
That is a shot. And by the way, that's not a ridiculous question because of how poor the Sox were constructed as a roster. With really not a real direction. I guess I would like for Chris Getz to just say, hey, you know what? We are tearing this all the way down. But you're not, though. You instead went half pregnant.
Correct.
That's what you did. Because Aloy's still in the ball club. Moncada might have seen his last days as a White Sox. Or Luis Roberts on the team. So you got 1 foot in and 1 foot out. And that's not the same.
That's correct.
It's just not.
And by the way, the whole, you keep playing the cut for all the haters.
Okay, let me say this. I listened to Sylvie yesterday, and I thought he did a magnificent job at... He didn't fire on John Schriffen, but he did say, you've been here 25 games. When a team is 6-20 whatever, the fan base, Jonathan Hood cheering for his Padres, who is a diehard Sox fan, or whoever it is out there, like my brother, who are from born and bred diehard Sox fans... Because they're angry with the state of the ball club, does not make them a hater. Does not. John's trying to find his way. Good for him. He seems like he's working hard. He's trying. He's trying to get a new catchphrase going. But you don't have the equity to be able to say to a fan base, for all the haters, you've got 6 wins. You're the worst team in baseball. That's not being haters. That's fan base like Jonathan Hood who care deeply about that team. And if they were good, he'd be watching every single second and listening right here on the home of the White Sox. That's not being a hater. Sorry. Well done, Sylvie.
So when I first heard the comment from Schriffen, you know, that because the soundbite of...
Say it with me! Say it proud!
Okay, so you want to do that, say it with me, say it proud. Okay, fine. Okay. All right. So when my first reaction to that is, well, what haters is he referring to? Who's he talking to? Is he talking to Twitter? Is he talking about all of Major League Baseball? I mean, I didn't know. I couldn't identify what haters he's talking about. If a White Sox fan like me looks at the ball club and says the team needs to be able to have a direction, am I a hater?
No.
I mean, I'm still a White Sox fan. I'm pissed that this is the direction that they've chosen to go in with no real hope for the future. Mm-hmm. But my point is, that does not make me a hater. I know the word hate and the word hater is thrown around way too casually these days.
Agreed.
And so when you say that someone's a hater, no. The point is that White Sox fans want to see the team win. If a Sox fan gets on Twitter and says, you know what, I hate the effort for the White Sox, that doesn't make them a hater. It says, I want to see better from the team. So, I mean, you just got here and you're trying to be this ultimate homer, and that's fine. No problem. Point is, though, is that I don't care about the catchphrase. Every broadcaster has a catchphrase. But when you start saying that people that look at the ball club at 6-23 should be satisfied with it, and if you're not, you're a hater, that's BS. That's nonsense.
Exactly agree.
Yeah.
You're not a hater. My brother's not a hater because he's mad what's going on with his favorite team.
What I'm surprised is that Schriffen's from New York. He should understand angst throughout a baseball team. He's from New York. He doesn't see Yankee fans and Mets fans. You think that the Mets fans are happy that they're 14 or they're 500, 14-14, something like that?
Right. After last year being horrible.
You think they're happy with that? Are they haters if they say, I don't like what I've been hearing? So he's got to check himself in that regard. Man, yeah, don't talk down to the fan base. That's not a good direction. I know that this is a stepping stone job for you. I know that, Triffin. You're not going to be here for 25 years. I get that because I'm sure that you have bigger and better things that you want to do. But while you're here, you probably want to be able to be friendly to the Sox fan because it's a tough season. Be the friend, not the foe, as a broadcaster. That's just a tip from a White Sox fan to you.
For all the haters!
Around the NFL next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Welcome back to Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Huh?
We
We're going around the NFL with Shay Norling, but first we'd like to let you know that Greeny comes up at 10, Carmen Yurko 12-3, Waddle and Sylvie 2:36, and a White Sox baseball as the Sox take on the Twins, 6 o'clock pregame right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000.
Boy, Carmen Yurk, we're firing on the Bears drafting the punter. They called it a pick of arrogance. Wow.
Yeah. Well, you got to be authentically you when you're Carmen Yurko, right? Yeah, I mean, that train's never late when you take a crap on special teams. So not a surprise there. Around the NFL, here's Shay Norling. Shay?
All right, well, speaking of the Bears draft, Kaplan tasked me with a Austin Booker scouting report yesterday.
Yes.
I've watched this kid a bit. I watched a lot of Kansas football this year. They were good in the Big 12. He kind of jumps off the screen when you watch him. He was quite explosive. Maybe not elite. I'm not saying he's Micah Parsons. But for a fifth-round pick, he's got a lot of explosiveness. There's one issue. A bit like J.J. McCarthy as a quarterback, Austin Booker's only played about 500 snaps in college. There's just not a lot to look at or watch. That said, for his experience level, you're getting a guy who's got a kind of deep pass rush arsenal. It could grow a little more, but he's got some good moves. Hand fighting really good. He flashes hands and then he can explode through an offensive lineman. I like this kid a lot. I liked him coming into the draft. The experience level's worrisome, but what he can do relative to it is really impressive. Kind of tells me he's coachable. Why did he drop to the fifth round? He was projected third. Honestly, probably the subpar RAS score. Only got about a 7. It was middling for his RAS score. And
tell people what a RAS score is.
It's the relative athletic score. It takes your combine measurements and tracks them against the elite players. So it qualifies like your 40 time, your vertical jump, all the things that you do at the combine, plus your physical measurements, and puts them up into a relative score that normalizes. If you're in the 9s, you're elite. If you're in the 8s, you're good. If you're in the 7s, meh. And that's where Austin Booker fell. He was in the 7s. So he's got subpar RAS. And he's only played 500 snaps. So what are people supposed to do? There's not a lot to evaluate.
He went to Kansas.
Oh.
What does that mean?
He started at Minnesota. He transferred to Kansas.
So you can't get it done at Minnesota and you downgrade down to Kansas football?
To be fair, he had a good season.
Danny.
12 tackles for loss, 8 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 38 pressures. He had a nice year. And he was dominant against Illinois.
Oh, that's impressive.
They had a good offensive line, Illinois.
They do. They have a really good center. Josh Kreutz. Really good.
Here's a guy here that led Kansas in sacks, tackles for a loss, and forced fumbles. He's 6'4", every bit of 253. And so if you get anything out of him, that's a positive.
Plus, if you do sign Calais Campbell or Yannick Ngakoue or trade for Trey Hendricks or whoever it is, he can develop.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to ask him, can you start as a rookie and make an impact? So, we'll see.
He'll be 21 in December. And just kind of a project, Cap. Kind of like the offensive tackle they got out of Yale.
Kieran Amagaji.
Yeah, Dallas Kamagis is going to be a good player for them.
For DePaul.
Yeah, and playing for the Bears now. Pretty good, kid. I like Kamagis on this team. And again, a guy that had some productive moments in Yale, kind of a project.
Amagaji. Repeat after me. Amagaji, not Kamagis. Amagaji. Kieran Amagaji.
I don't know if I should hit the dump button. I don't know if you can say that on the radio.
Wow.
Here's Shay Norling.
All right, I have to clarify. I don't know if this is real. Kaplan sent it to us yesterday. It's starting to garner some headlines. A social media user posted a photo that is now going viral and getting the attention of news outlets, claiming that the Atlanta Falcons very briefly introduced Michael Penix Jr. on Instagram as Michael Penis before deleting and correcting the post. I don't know if this is legit, but it's one of those things where you see it. Can you really put it past the Falcons? Like, do they get the benefit of the doubt on this?
I mean, here's the thing. You have to do that on purpose because that's not even close. Penix, P-N-N-I-X, right?
Yeah, but the S is right above the X.
Cap. Do you spell penis with two N's? You do not. Why are you thinking about that?
There's only
I'm
one
looking
N in
at
Penix.
The keyboard right here. There's only one N in Penix, P-E-N-I, and then you just happen to hit the key right below the S. You go, or right above the X. Bam, there's the S.
Whoever's putting that out there is fired today. Fired.
So nobody make a mistake?
Penis!
Cut that meat!
Yeah! Really? Fired today.
Wow.
This is dumb. I mean, how about a little spell check?
They deleted it right away.
Doesn't matter. That's just dumb.
But they hit send.
That's the problem. So because they hit send, fired. Absolutely fired. You really think that they drafted someone named Michael Penix? Penis, really? Cap?
Well, I'm not saying that they thought they did that. They just accidentally hit the S instead of the X.
You have to try to do that.
Hit the send and went, oh, God.
Yes. Yes. You have to try to do that for that to happen. You have to. You know what would be funny? If I write penis instead of Penix, send. Oops. Oopsie.
And not only that, Penix Jr.
Oh, okay.
Right. So and Michael Penix Jr.
All right. So even
I'm
smaller.
Calling it, that's enough.
So even smaller than the quarterback that they drafted.
Like, my question is, like, I read it before I hit send on a tweet, I literally read it like twice.
Yes. To make sure it doesn't have penis on it.
I want it. Okay.
Yes.
And, like, you're telling me you just drafted this dude. It's controversial as it is. Let me read that. That looks good to me. Send.
Come on,
oh,
man.
Oh, God.
This Penix Jr. I mean, come on now. The worst.
Excuse me, Mr. Fontenot. Yes. Did we draft a kid named Penix Jr.?
Can you imagine if it was his name? Actually, what that would be like? I mean, wow. I always called him, like, I had friends that gave him that nickname when he was at Indiana, and he was torching Michigan State. That's just what we called him because we didn't like him.
Good player.
That person's fired today. Shay.
Wow.
Roger Goodell said something at the draft that I thought was interesting. He would like to make an 18-game season with a Super Bowl that extends into late February and more primetime games. So you can already see where this is going. The Monday night football is now going to probably often be a Monday night doubleheader, as they've done three times a year the past few seasons. We know that they want to add Friday night games with what they're doing in Sao Paulo to open the season. Thursday night games already exist. They want to take Wednesday Christmases. At what point is enough enough? Like, do people really want this much football? I feel like this is going to end up being too much of a good thing. One of my favorite things about football is its scarcity. It's special because you miss it when you don't have it. If they give it to me every single night of the week, I'm never going to have time to miss it and appreciate it. It won't be special anymore. It'll just be football.
It won't be in our lifetime, Cap, but in Shay's lifetime, possibly. There's going to be a 20-game or more season. It will be. Because, you know, because there's too much money to be made. The NFL is a big juggernaut. Shay, you will not believe this, but Cap and I grew up in an era in which the NFL was not king. It was not. Oh. It was baseball and boxing.
Back in the day when it was really special and you got 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock on Sundays, East Coast, that's it. There was no Monday night. There was no Sunday night.
And there was a time where football was not this, you know, and what my advice to the NFL would be this. I don't like, for me, this is why as a consumer, it's great. I don't have to watch every NFL game. I'm a Bears fan. Now, I watch NFL games to get a perspective around the league, but I'm not locked into every NFL game. I'm not. I'm a college football fan. But my point is, Cap, is that if they really want to take advantage of this, you know, the greatness that they have right now, this golden goose, make it more of a global game. Like, they've already been to UK, Germany. They're going to be in Brazil. Just keep it going. Just keep going as far across the equator as you want. Keep going around the globe with this. Like the NBA does. The NBA is a global game, right?
It is.
But the NFL, if they keep going like this, Cap, they're just going to be in Canada one day, and they're going to be in Brazil, and going to be in Mexico, and they're going to be... And just keep going with this. Make it the global game it is. Because everyone cares.
If they put a team in Costa Rica... Let's go.
Sure. I mean, go ahead. There's been rumor and innuendo about an NFL team in Mexico City for a long time. You want to do it? Fine. But nothing stops it. It is amazing. Baseball has never been this popular, on this kind of popular plane. As much as we love baseball, it's never been like this. Oh, my God. It's crazy.
I just think, Hoodie, like, I think it'll lose a little bit of the magic if it becomes this kind of year. Like, if they back a spring league, then, you know, the UFL is growing now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I could care less about that stuff.
If they extend things so you get, like, really 30 days in the summer where there's no football going on, but the rest of the time they've got these different events that they
have. The spring league will have zero impact. Zero.
The more that they start to feed me football, the less of the magic is there. It was in its sweet spot a couple years ago. It was perfect. And I love it now where we get to this time of year and the next couple months I'm going to start to really miss it. And then it comes back and I'm excited. But if I have football every day all the time, I'm never going to be able to miss it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm 100% in agreement with you with this. But this is what the NFL is. And by the way, the reason why they would supply more games is because of the demand. People want to gamble on it more. They want more fantasy football because of the money. You want to know why it's expanding? Because of money. That's how you follow it.
Follow the money.
That's what it is.
But, yeah, I have no problem if they move the Super Bowl 2 weeks late. Doesn't bother me at all. Have at it.
You're not even a football fan like that. You just want to be contrarian.
No.
You're a baseball man.
Baseball is my favorite sport,
yes.
But I love football. But I like the NFL, like, miles ahead of college. You're more a college guy than Shea, too.
Albert Breer with the latest on the Bears and the NFL draft.
Rock and roll.
That's next on Cap and J-Hood.